From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 13th day of May, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And at the end of the half hour, we'll take up the agricultural weather forecast with Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Along the way, we'll get an update of the agricultural news from your director of agricultural programming, Dave Dickey. And I'll tell you why it's important for a second language to be learned in high school if your high schooler plans to make their way to college. And it all comes up on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day mostly lower. The nearby May contract in the soft red winter wheat at $6.96, 4.5 lower. July at $7.27¾, down 7¾. The hard red July in Kansas City at $9.25, down 4.5. In July in, or rather, that was the spring wheat in Minneapolis. The hard red in July in Kansas City down 6¾ at $8.69½. May corn futures in Chicago, $6.79, 2¼ lower. July at $6.82, a penny and a half higher there. September higher as well at 0.75¢, $6.53¾ was the final trade on the day. And December futures finished lower, down 3½ cents at $6.27 a bushel. March contract of next year at $6.38½. 3½ cents lower. May soybeans, $13.37, down 8¼. July at $13.29½, 13¼ lower. And September futures, $13.18, down 15. November beans, 15½ cents lower. The final price for the new crop at $13.10¾ a bushel. January futures at $13.19½, down 15¼ cents. Bean meal finished at $3.43.10, 60 cents lower, rather $6 lower. Bean oil down 46 cents at $55.75. Live cattle futures at the end of this day. We don't have them in front of us at the moment. There they are. Live cattle futures finished the August at 110.55, down 87.5. August feeders at 132.45, down $1.47.5. And lean hogs at 92.85 in the May, up 22.5 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures, June contract, $99.37 a barrel, up 37 cents. Ethanol at $2.50¾¢, a penny and a tenth higher. Natural gas at $4.24¢, up 5¾¢. Heating oil or diesel fuel, $2.94¹¢, up 2¢. And the gold futures on the day at $1,493.40, a settlement price down $13.20. The Dow off just about 87 points at 12,608, but of course that's delayed. It's been down as much as 100 points. U.S. dollar at 75.75, up 0.51. The CRB index at 338.53, down 0.303 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service on this Friday afternoon. They say showers and thunderstorms are likely in the Urbana-Champaign area, mostly cloudy, a high near 81 degrees. East-southeast winds at 8 miles an hour. The chance of precip this afternoon set at 60%. Tonight, showers are likely, mostly cloudy, with a low of about 52 degrees. Northeast winds at 11 to 13. They'll gust as high as 18. Again, a 60% chance of precipitation this evening. Saturday, showers likely, cloudy, a low of 49 degrees. Northwest winds at 10 to 17, gusting as high as 24 for Saturday night. A chance of precip at 60%. And Sunday, a 50% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a high near 57. West-northwest winds at 13 to 15 miles an hour. They'll gust as high as 21. I think I skipped scattered Saturday day. A 50% chance of showers tomorrow. Thunderstorms, too, cloudy, a high near 62 degrees. North-northwest winds at 13 to 16. They'll gust as high as 23. We'll take a more complete look at the agricultural weather forecast when we get to this bottom of the half hour and we talk with Steve Hilberg at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center.
agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
On a Friday afternoon, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd. How are you?
I am doing very well. You get the honor of looking back at a week where the USDA released its World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. And we'll change things just a bit, I suppose, although I'm not sure that fundamentally the marketplace is changed very much. What do you think?
I think the trade took the USDA report a lot more at face value than I thought they would, because the report to me looked pretty backward-looking. In other words, not really real-time. And I say that from a standpoint of the global wheat production number seemed like it was pretty high. I took it from a standpoint that they did lower Chinese bean imports for 2010 from 57 million tons to 54.5. But then they jumped the 2011 imports back up to 58 million tons. That didn't make much sense to me, nor did the fact that they took the 10 carryover up, but then they took the 11 carryover down 10 million bushels versus the 10 carryover. So next year's crop ending stocks will be less than this year's crop ending stocks. And I think given the spring wheat issues and some of the issues in the Delta and some of the issues in the southern Corn Belt, and the Tennessee River Valley, it would make more sense to me that whatever acres we've lost in beans, we'll probably pick quite a bit of more of those up. It would have been, I would have thought the corn acres that we would have probably lost. So I could go down, you know, seven or eight different things on that report that would say to me, okay, it was a survey-based report, especially for the wheat, and it probably suggests that there are future changes coming down the pike in terms of more friendly supply changes, less supply coming. And I think that's where I was surprised the trade took it at face value. And I'm sure that some of the outside market factors helped, you know, instigate the trade taking at face value. But I wonder if we're not going to have to come back next week after the planting progress report and address some of these issues that this week's report gave us.
Of course, that'll happen on Monday afternoon, and we'll have Monday night trade and Tuesday during the day for the reaction. I suppose you might think that that would be to the upside. But as you look at the weekly numbers, and these are the weekly trades now for corn, wheat, and soybeans, wheat in the July was down just 4.25. The May contract, the old crop, was down 28.5. Actually, the July, I'm sorry, was down 31.75.
Right.
May corn was down 33.25. December at 13.25, lower for the week. May beans were off 12 cents, but the Novembers were up 2.25. So the trade apparently believed, as you said, face value on what USDA was saying about at least the corn, if nothing else.
Yeah, and I think this is where it goes back to what we saw today was, once again, an illustration of the power of those outside markets. Unfortunately, the micro fundamentals, I mean, I heard before the market closed that the governor of Louisiana was now looking at no later than Sunday to open the Morganza Spillway and even flood even more ground farmland in Mississippi and Louisiana. We're looking at historical issues in terms of what's going on in the Southern Plains and what's going on in the Delta, and not to mention the Ohio River Valley. Many clients east of Indianapolis, especially as you get closer to the Ohio border, haven't turned a wheel yet. And we're just talking about the same year and 3 months ago when everybody was out there saying we need every acre and every bushel that we can get this year to not go below 500 million bushels and carry over for corn. I just think the trade has gotten way, way caught up in those outside markets. It doesn't surprise me, but the problem is that we're on some pretty key technical levels in these commodity index charts, and if we don't hold those levels, then we could see another round of high-frequency selling, another round of quantitative fund selling, and that may put in jeopardy the commodity indexes, and they may have to dump again like they did the last week or so. So I think what I'm looking at is, okay, the supplies are going down faster than the demand is going down at this point, but I'm also worried about the outside market. Where does that leave you? To me, it leaves you with selling on paper and not moving any cash product at all at this point.
And so is it a repeat in the outside markets? And I don't mean to be a real repeat, but is it that the marketplace, the traders are scared that what they saw in 07, 08 will come back and haunt this marketplace again?
Yes, I think that the fact that the crude oil finally started to rally in February, that's where the 2008 market looked very similar to what we were dealing with here recently, where both the food and the energy price gains and the inflationary pressure started to be talked about, written about, analyzed, and global growth was being talked about. And then all of a sudden we started to see the theory, the economic theory work, where China and India and Brazil were raising raising interest rates to slow their economy, raising their reserve requirements to slow their economy, and that automatically indicates down the road their growth is going to have to slow. So I think that's where the trade did come back to an 08-type mindset or template. But I think, Todd, what we've done here, and I think the corn is the best indication of that this week, is we've fallen back here, and I think we've garnered some demand again. We saw it in the export market for sure. But even in central Illinois, I've seen basis numbers all over the place. I've seen July corn or spot corn 10 cents to 18 cents over the July futures, and now we're starting to see the corn spread wake up a little bit again. And so I think you're seeing the beginnings of a cash-led market. Why is that? Well, in the midst of all this outside market turmoil, you still have to contend with the fact that our early corn crop that's supposed to come out of the southern plains and out of the Delta is probably not going to be there like we are normally used to. And the end users at the end of the day realize that regardless of what the world macro fundamentals are saying.
That's all well and good, and that means cash movement will be, cash movement will be whatever it is. And if a producer happens to have bushels left, he or she should be able to take advantage of that. But does it fold into the new crop in any way?
I think it will. I think what you'll see this year is the September corn will be trading a lot more like an old crop corn because I think the basis will stay very firm. I was on the phone quite a bit this week with some of my cash contacts, and I got the impression after talking to everybody that I talked to that probably only about 10% of what's in the elevator right now is actually open market corn. The rest of it's already been spoken for. So I think that puts the producer with the vast majority of the corn that's open for the open market in pretty tough control, and it's going to be pretty tough on the demand side of the equation if we don't get that Eastern Corn Belt planted to really get that corn out of those farmers' hands. And I think a lot of corn is being replanted right now, so I wouldn't say that the Central Corn Belt people or the Western Corn Belt people are saying this is an ideal year, and it probably makes them want to hold on to their old crop a little bit more even.
And I, you know, that funny thing crossed my mind. I was thinking, hey, the stocks report, you know, it won't be a big, that won't be a problem, will it? All
no,
the new crop getting mixed
not,
together when we finished up the year.
Yeah, exactly. Well, like last year in the June stocks report, but anything.
No,
I meant
the August, or the September, the final one. But
yeah, right. That's true. But it does call to mind. I mean, I think that's where I really thought that 2011 would be an easier marketing year than 2010. Because I didn't see the Middle East coming to head as far as the political problems. And I think those energy prices going up and the unleaded gas prices at the pump really did slow the demand. And I think we saw that and are still seeing it in some of these weekly ethanol numbers. We're seeing that backward-looking indicator confirm that we did lose demand and demand did erode. And I think that's something we're going to have to face and fight if the Middle East heats up more. And we have political tensions that could keep crude oil very, very well supported, but all of a sudden we still see the demand get knocked in the head. So that's where I don't want to say I'm bullish, don't sell a thing. I just think it needs to be done on paper because these outside market forces do have to be covered in terms of risk management.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
You too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Hey, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. I don't think I've said it recently, so I'll say it now. Thank you so much for listening. Dave Dickey and I really do take that to heart, and we appreciate all that you do for us. We hope that we're doing as much as we can for you. If not, give me a call, 217-333-9697. Now here's Dave.
In agricultural news, Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus says the Senate must consider approval of the U.S.-Colombia Free Trade Agreement at the same time it takes up a proposed extension of trade adjustment assistance benefits for workers adversely affected by trade. Baucus says that the TAA would not move forward without the Colombia Pact. The Finance Committee oversees U.S. trade and tax policies. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization says approximately one-third of the annual global food production, roughly 1.3 billion metric tons, is wasted each year. The FAO says every year consumers in rich countries waste almost as much food, 222 million tons, as the entire net food production of sub-Saharan Africa. In low-income countries, the main reasons for food waste are a lack of adequate infrastructure, storage, and refrigeration, as well as limited financial, managerial, and technical expertise. In medium and high-income countries, the report concludes that the causes of food losses and waste relate more to consumer behavior, as well as to a lack of coordination between different links in the supply chain. In addition, in many developed nations, food is wasted due to quality standards, which reject food items not perfect in shape or appearance. Weatherbill, a weather insurance firm, has estimated that 834 million to 1.6 billion bushels of corn may be lost due to heavy rains and planting delays so far in the eastern Corn Belt. The figures are equal to 6 to 12% of the U.S. corn crop, using USDA's initial 2011 production forecast of 13.5 billion bushels. Weatherbill, based in San Francisco, says the planting delays could result in a loss of yield that could equate to losses of $5.8 billion to $11.2 billion, depending on how quickly planting progresses as fields dry. The Labor Department today says that U.S. consumer prices rose as expected in April on higher food and energy prices. The Labor Department says its consumer price index increased 0.4% after rising 0.5% in March. CPI, excluding food and energy, gained 0.2% after edging up 0.1% in March. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week. Both of those programs you can find anytime you'd like and listen to them from our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. And if you can't get to our website or hear us on a radio station, you can always get a bit of our programming off of your phone. Just dial this number, 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal and update it daily at 10:15 and 3:15 with either the opening or closing market reports and a bit of analysis. It's at 217-333-3434. Now, up next, you know many universities require their graduates to know a second language. Most expect that requirement will be completed in high school, but it can be done at college. I'll have a report on why the Crop Sciences Department head at the University of Illinois thinks a second language is simply a must for academic life and a career in agriculture. Students graduating from the University of Illinois have been required to know a second language since the middle of the 1990s. There are several good reasons behind that, says Crop Sciences Department head Herman Bolero.
The second language requirement is a reality. I mean, this is something that it goes beyond the requirement. This is something that I will advise anyone to try to get it anyway as part of the future. I mean, when we look at developing the next generation of crop scientists, we're looking about 20, 30 years ahead, and having a second language is very important.
Well, that's because the number of people directly involved in the production of the crops that produce the world's food, feed, fiber, and fuel, well, it's dwindling, and those that are left must communicate across many lands and languages. Herman Valero should know. English is the Argentinians' second language.
But I'll tell you for personal experience what I feel about a second language. I think studying a second language also helps you understand other cultures. Makes you a broader person. I went through that experience myself, you know, going from Spanish into English. And I think that just the exercise of studying another language is a very good one, just for your education. In many ways, I see languages as math. You know, it's a problem to go through it. And I don't, you know, again, I have a Southern accent. And it's always going to be with me. I'm very proud of it. But I think it is very important. It makes you closer to other people.
It's not a problem to just get through, says Valero. And there is too much emphasis on the second language as just a requirement. It's much more. It is, he says, an opportunity, a way to broaden and develop a world agriculturalist. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Bruce Bostert. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, to take up the cash grain markets. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Basis in your area jumping at all?
It has generally been a little bit better. Steady on the old crop corn, up a nickel on the new crop in the past week. Beans up a nickel on the old crop and up two on the new. So we've shown some good improvement across the board there.
You think it's worthwhile? And then how do you play that into what's been actually happening in Chicago?
Well, it's interesting. It's encouraging to see that the basis has improved, and that says there's still a certain amount of demand out there. You know, Chicago is looking at two things. One, just that we are getting some old crop rationing done, so we're going to be switching more to a traditional new crop weather market and not just worried about getting there. And then there's the whole money chasing commodities as an inflation hedge type thing, and I don't even want to go there. That's way over my head.
How about this? Take a look at some of the end users in your area. Tell me how tight supplies might be by the time we get to July for corn, for soybeans, and then you understand the river system pretty well. What do you think about the flooding and what it might mean to the river system short term and maybe longer term?
Okay, processors, and this isn't a surprise to the processors. They have been planning for this. They're caught between the rock and the hard place. They want to get through to new crop. They anticipate the problem. They've been buying ahead, but with a, you know, when we were $1, $1.50 inverse on corn, you sure don't want to carry over one more bushel than you have to. So they've had the pencil sharp, and they're working on it and planning ahead. Does it mean that they're covered? Not necessarily, but they've got some coverage on and a plan. River system. Cairo and South is just a mess. Some of those terminals are not going to be up in time for wheat harvest. Some of them may not be up and running in time for corn and bean harvest this fall. It's going to be a while before they can even get in and assess damage.
Thank you so much. We do appreciate you taking the time with us.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostert is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Back in 2 minutes.
It's National Apple Pie Day. Apples are thought to originate in Asia, where its wild ancestor is still found today. Apples were brought to North America with the colonists in the 1600s, and the first apple orchard in the New World was said to be near Boston in 1625. On this day in agricultural history in 1878, Joseph Henry died. One of the first great American scientists, Henry was the first director of the Smithsonian Institution, where he established the foundation of a national weather service. In 1884, Cyrus Hall McCormick died. He is generally credited with the development of the mechanical reaper. His father had worked unsuccessfully between 1809 and 1816 to develop a reaping machine. He followed his father's lead and by 1831 was able to publicly demonstrate a functional machine able to cut a 4-foot swath. In 1834, he patented his design. To defend his patent against a competitor, in 1843, a widely publicized competition was held between their rival products in which McCormick's machine was judged the better. He sold 29 harvesters that year, 50 the next, and by 1848, he was in business with a factory in Chicago, Illinois, able to produce 500 machines. With production line assembly within a few years, McCormick dominated the market. And in 1958, Velcro was trademarked. The hook loop fastener was invented in 1945. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's a Friday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast today, Steve Hilberg, as usual, from the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, funded in part by NOAA and located right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
That's been an ugly spring for the eastern Corn Belt. Do you think it'll get any better?
Well, we actually had a little bit better weather this week from Illinois and Indiana. I'm sure reports on Monday when we get all the weekly crop reports in that they'll see significant progress in corn planting, at least just gauging by my field survey view and the way to and from work the last few days, a number of tractors out. And that's partly because we've had some very warm weather this week. As you know, we were up in the 90s actually earlier this week. And that and some breezy weather and not a lot of widespread rain really helped things dry out. The next couple of days are going to be iffy because we have a closed upper-level low that's going to be meandering across Illinois and the Midwest, and that will keep rainfall chances alive pretty much through the weekend and into Monday, maybe even into Tuesday. But I think overall we'll see some improvement coming along for even the eastern part of the Corn Belt. Things should warm up a bit later next week, and I think for the most part dry out as well, too. There will be another system late next week which will bring in more rain, but I think in between time, especially here in Illinois, we should have some pretty good weather.
How widespread do you think the rainfall will be here in this event on tonight, tomorrow, Sunday through Monday?
Well, that's a really tough one. I think it's going to be – I don't think it'll be very widespread. I think there'll be some areas that could get some good showers and thunderstorms. A band of showers and thunderstorms developed just north of here, north of central Illinois here, just before noon, and it now extends from up near Galena all the way just to south of the Chicago area into northern Indiana. And that's moving very slowly. That's the problem, is anything that develops is going to move slowly and it could dump lots of rain. So it could be small areas that get lots of rain, and there'll be some areas this weekend that won't see anything.
You mentioned a term. I wasn't quite sure what it means. Maybe you could tell me. You said closed low system. What does that mean?
Yeah, typically in the upper atmosphere, we have waves that move through the atmosphere, like a wave through water. And open waves, meaning the circulation comes into the trough and then southwest ahead of the trough, they progress across the country. But when these lows become cut off, they're sort of like cyclones or hurricane. It's not as intense as this, but think of a hurricane in the upper atmosphere, just a low that spins around and is basically disconnected from the upper flow. So it doesn't really get pushed anywhere, but it's a big area of unsettled weather.
Yeah, so they just sets and moves, and if it rains a lot.
Yes, it could. And this time of year, you typically get these, and they have a lot of cold air aloft, so you get a lot of showers and thunderstorms.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Don't forget to tune in if you have the opportunity. For our Commodity Week program, that's our weekly look at what happened in the world of agriculture. Our guest this week will be Mark Deitch. He's from the LaSalle Group out of Chicago, Illinois. We'll post it to our website and into the podcast by about 6 o'clock this evening. You can pick it up out of iTunes by just searching for my name, Todd Gleason, and looking for Commodity Week or visiting our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. You have a great weekend. Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media.